Welcome to the Marketing Minute Podcast. Now, here are your hosts, John Pritchard, publisher of the Journal of Healthcare Contracting, and Scott Adams, publisher of Repertoire Magazine.
Hey everyone, this is Scott Adams and John Pritchard coming back to you here with the Marketing Minute out of Atlanta, Georgia and Sheer Moving Media. John, it's good to be back on the show with you. I'm just going to start it right out, buddy, with just throwing out some stats at you and get your flavor for this. 7.2 million healthcare professionals, 850,000 docs, 188,000 companies, and over 2.3 million nurses. Do you know what all of these healthcare suppliers and professionals have in common?
I would bet that's the digital social media footprint for those categories.
Close. It's actually, that is just LinkedIn, if you can believe that.
That's not Facebook, not Twitter.
Not at all. It's not any of the other social platforms. It's literally just LinkedIn. Think about those stats and how staggering that number is. And I share that with you to kind of talk about what our whole topic is today, which is, you know, why suppliers can't afford to skip over their digital PR. And so as we start to talk about PR today and talk about, you know, doing it digitally, just from a traditional standpoint, what comes to mind for you from a traditional PR standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, trying to get earned media, right, in trade magazines, in Main Street media, billboards. All 100%. Messaging, just the thousands of images and messaging and content we're exposed to day in and day out is all deliberate.
Yeah, as you go through and think about it out there, I think other things come to mind for me. You know, John mentioned billboards. I think TV ads, radio spots, press releases, even dinners or charity events are just traditional type PR, and we all need that. And, you know, there's a handful of things that really jumped out at me as we wrote this blog and came up with some of this stuff. And one of them, the key benefit to me of having, you know, a digital PR program and a plan, more importantly, in place is, and this one is the one that jumped off the page, this one and maybe two others for me, was just the fact that it allows you to give your brand an emotion, you know, through public relations, not through marketing, you know, radio spots and dinners and things, but literally gives you some emotion to your brand.
Yeah, you know, you look at consumer brands that we all like. We've used examples in past podcasts, especially in social media. It just seems the consumer brands work so hard to connect with us emotionally, to give us their brand texture, a feeling around what they're doing. And in our, you know, in our two major channels, medical distribution and trying to message to supply chain leaders, we see so little of that.
100%. You know, one of the things I think about, John, is like a brand like Welch Allyn, now Hillrom, you know, and back when they would do their show of hands, you know, they'd bring people in and put kits together for folks. The other ones that kind of I always think about, you know, from a PR standpoint are healthcare providers, big supply chain folks, and the things they do, their 5K runs or going out and doing blood drives and, you know, things like that, that again, bring emotion to the things they do. Sometimes I think I sell table paper or I sell gloves. I can't have emotion with that. But yeah, your brand absolutely can. And it's done through telling your story through PR. Digitally and on a regular basis.
You think of the last year too, Scott, how all of us were concerned about our health. Certainly depending on the time of the year, where we were with the virus, whether we were exposed to it, what happened with family members. But think of all the professionals that these suppliers need to reach. They are searching every day for solutions online to what worries them. You know, you just think of the frontline healthcare workers worried about their own safety. I didn't see a ton of messaging out there from great brands explaining to them what they're doing to help them keep them safe, whether it's supply them, be where they are with caregiving products.
Opening up facilities,
never leaving facilities, you know, working around the clock. You know, I think brands can really learn from that too, because this huge market that you opened the podcast with, these statistics, these people are online, they're searching for solutions, and I think brands get shy or nervous or avoid the conversation when they don't have the silver bullet answer to what the problem is. They've got to learn, in my humble opinion, that they will get rewarded for just having the conversation. That's therapeutic. That's comforting. That will give brand texture and emotion, just facilitating the conversation.
Yeah, you know, I think what happens with brands a lot, and I can totally understand it coming from this side of the business, is they may be a little shy of, this is self-serving, doing, you know, public relations around great things we're doing. But the reality is, it's not. It's how your customers are going to find you in the future. The other thing that jumped out at me is 9 out of 10 buyers of brands today follow those brands on social media. You know, John and I in an earlier podcast talked about his vast shoe collection. And the thing I know about John is he follows most of those shoes online and gets marketed to regularly that way. But he's allowing them to market to him because they have put out enough press release, or public relations rather, to allow him to give them permission to market to him. And, you know, the other thing that I would say is 61% of the buyers in business to business today are millennials, and they follow brands online, and they expect it. You know, I remember 3 or 4 years ago when we first started going down this path, John, of content marketing and all of the things, one of the things that I learned during that was how much big brands give back to communities. Giving back to communities, you should be allowed to talk about. That's something you should be proud of, and it's how you give emotion to your brand and bring them back to you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we use the term millennial and the Amazon Prime buyer interchangeably, because it's not just an age
right.
thing, but it's sort of an engaged online consumer in a business-to-business environment, I think is better educated than ever. And they can smell when it's bullshit. When you're putting out PR to self-grandize, they can smell it. And great brands are way too smart to do that. I think we have an overcorrection and fear of putting that information out because they think it is self-grandizing. But when it's real and it's true and it's benefiting that stakeholder they're chasing, it'll be noticed and appreciated.
I agree with you 100%. They can smell it. It's just like me smelling it when you're trying to get strokes on me on the first tee
yeah.
at the golf course. I mean, it's coming across as bullshit, and we
yeah.
all know it is.
Yeah,
so
very similar.
I appreciate your efforts there, but I'm not giving you any more strokes, buddy.
You know, Scott, I'll tell you what jumped out at me in this blog, too, that I just feel like I need to jump on the top of my desk and herald to the mountains. Every day we're talking to great marketers from great brands, and they do research tirelessly on their competition and how they're differentiated in fit, form, and function of their device, product, or piece of equipment. But so little of them, if any, come with any research or insight on how their competition
Such
is actually communicating to the marketplace and what their PR initiative is. To me, it would be the first thing that a brand could do to differentiate. Go to a different place. Be the only voice in the hallowed hall. Don't just me too everything that your competition's doing. And don't talk about fit, form, and function all the time.
Yeah, I think it's such a great point. I almost think brands, this is my opinion, I almost think brands need to look at their public relations and how they put their stuff out almost as its own market share. And what part of the market share in your space are you controlling? Because if you're not controlling any of it, guess who is? Your competitor is. You've got to control it and be selfish about it like it's market share that you're trying to gain, because you are trying to gain the market share / mind share of the ultimate customer that you're trying to reach. And you do that through public relations on a regular basis. I think we can give them a handful of tips.
Yeah,
maybe to help with that, and then also, you know, not to plug us a ton, but this is what we do all the time, and we'd love to help some of these brands do that.
Absolutely, I'll start with the first one, Scott. And you know, there's a service out there called Help a Reporter Out. You can sign up, you get regular emails on different topics that you opt into, and reporters researching your category will reach out to you as an expert. What a better way to get out in front of the marketplace than actually become a subject matter expert on what you do all day long. This is a number one thing. Everybody should do this. You're never obligated to respond. They're never obligated to run you. But all of a sudden, you get out in some trade magazines, Main Street Media. You can repurpose maybe a spot on Fox News, like you've done, and you get one or two of those a month. After a year, all of a sudden, you've got a lot of really good bona fide PR opportunities and pieces of content.
That not only helps your brand, it also helps your personal brand.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
As you start to become thought leaders, I know Paul Gerard at McKesson's constantly after me. You do know I'm probably the most wise infection prevention person in the industry. So there's a shout out to you, Paul. I know you always want us to talk about you. I think one of the other, the next tip is get your list of influencers. And the reason I bring up influencers so much is people may not always believe 100% of what influencers are telling them. But I promise you, they do buy that way. When an influencer that they're following via social media is promoting a brand, I guarantee that brand gets a spike. So the second tip would be, you know, find your influencers in the space.
That's a great point. You know, I'm obviously a slower adopter to Instagram than you. I've been on Facebook for the longest, and we certainly play around on Twitter with some of the folks we follow, but it's amazing. Hardly an ad comes across my feed in Instagram that doesn't have an influencer involved. And you know, in the 17 or 18 years we've been publishing the Journal of Healthcare Contracting, I don't know that we've ever had an ad with an IDN supply chain leader in it. Maybe we have. I don't think of it off the top of my head. But what a great way to use an influencer, or make an influencer out of a leader. You know, the tip that I would give is rally around a relevant cause. I mean, we have so much common ground in this marketplace of the diseases we want to fight, the wellness we want to encourage, the outcomes we want to achieve, the financial obligations that we all need to satisfy. And I'll give you a great example, like awareness, prevention, and prompt treatment of heart attacks in women works much better than general conversations like women's health.
Yeah.
Let's go at the heart of the matter, you know, that nobody can argue that we're not all on the same side of what we want to rally for.
Yeah, the next one that I would give, the fourth tip here is more tactical. And it's, you know, when we think of PR a lot, we're thinking of just sending a press release to somebody like us for the Daily News, the Journal of Healthcare Contracting's Daily News or Repertoire's Daily News. And that is part of it. But also, I would encourage everyone to think of it in a different way. Do live events, do webinars, do podcasts, host, you know, dinners, different things that give back. I would tout the Distribution Hall of Fame that we do each year, where we try to give money back to a charity of that inductee's choice each year. To me, it's such a great way to give back. It's such a great way to build emotion within your brand and to just do something that makes everybody feel good, frankly. But use different vehicles to get your public relations out there.
Absolutely. And the last one I'll finish on, Scott, and then I'll hand it back to you to wrap today's podcast, is publish thought leadership content. You know, I'm surprised when I talk to executives at great brands and say, hey, do you blog? They kind of look at you like, what is a blog? How about video blog? It's so easy. I mean, every day we read the newspaper. I read a newspaper every day, sometimes two different ones. And it's so easy just to grab an article and say, here are the three things I found in this article to be interesting. And it's dun, 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 list them out. But why aren't brands doing that? For goodness sakes, they're consuming so much content every day. They should be writing it too and delivering it.
Yeah, I think a lot of times what happens with brands, John, and it's why we have a business, honestly, is editorial calendar.
Yeah.
You know, they have so much going on, and that's what I'm going to close with here is a little bit of a plug. Healthcare manufacturers, let me just change that. Healthcare suppliers, because I think distribution needs to line up with this just as much as manufacturers, can't have a digital PR program without content. Content is key. It's the king. We talk about it on this podcast all the time. It's going to continue to be. The way you deliver it is just as important. But the key to delivering great, timely, compelling content is having an editorial calendar that you stick to and someone is responsible for. So whether you hire a person within your own organization that's going to sit there and do that and hold you guys accountable, or you hire someone like us to help you to deliver content, produce content, and then also the benefit with using a share moving media type organization like us is we have that repertoire audience. We have that journal healthcare audience. We can help you distribute it at the same time. The other thing I would just throw in there is when brands enlist folks like trade publications, we're the ones touting your story, which is way more believable than them, than you doing it on your own. So I'll close the podcast today with just that. Love to have conversations with anyone listening to the podcast today that's looking for some help in getting their PR program started, just looking for some help with creating content and getting started on an editorial calendar to help draw customers back to you. Keep in mind, 9 out of 10 consumers today buy from those folks they're following on social media, and go back and listen to those stats I threw out. Your folks, our folks, everybody that we're trying to reach is hanging out on social media these days. So thanks for listening to the podcast. You guys have a great week, and we will be back with more podcasts in the coming weeks. Thank you.